Chapter 43. The Emperor Protects. Battle Barge Charybdis, four decks. Odysseus thought Ushaman was dead. The light in his eyes had gone, and he wasn't moving. Before succumbing to this fugue state, he had clawed something into the wall with gauntleted fingers. Unearth's Kabar. Who Kabar was, or why Ushaman had carved his name into the metal, was a mystery to Odysseus. A flicker of motion in his peripheral vision took his attention from the wall. The girl had moved, or at least the thing that had fashioned itself as a girl. Dredged from Odysseus's subconscious, it was as cruel an apparition as the warp could have made for him. My Alyssa. He wept, not because the gossamer-clad thing slowly closing on them reminded him of his dead daughter, but for the true memory of what he had lost and all the grief that came with it. She was close, and the shipmaster was almost able to see what lay beneath that long, lank hair. Odysseus didn't want to, and as much as it hurt his martial pride to die on his knees, he shut his eyes. The crumpled parchment underneath his uniform felt old and tattered, but also comforting. He didn't need to look at the faded vellum pages to recite the prayer. Odysseus knew every word by heart. In the Emperor's shadow, I shall not falter, he whispered, clutching tightly to the Lectitio Divinitatis. For it is he that banished the denizens of old night with the light of the imperial truth. Giggling that was much too deep and resonant for a little girl intruded, but Odysseus did not stop. I am his servant. By his will and my deeds am I shielded from evil, for the Emperor protects, and his luminance shall... Loud percussive bolt of fire cut through Odysseus's recitation, and as he opened his eyes, throwing himself against the wall to make a smaller target, he saw muzzle flare and the slowly diminishing form of the girl. Heavy armored figures stormed into her wake and the still fading flare of bolters.
Save your ammo, he heard one of them say. Hammers and blades are the only way to be sure. Yes, brother captain.
Odysseus sagged against the wall, his relief palpable. Exhausted as he was, he heaved his weary body to its feet as he met Artellus Numeon. He led four other salamanders, including Sergeant Zetos. A sixth figure, much more diminutive than the rest, caused tears to flow anew down the shipmaster's face as all thought of decorum vanished. Lisa! Odysseus and Essenzi embraced as two long-lost friends separated by a gulf of time. The indulgence was momentary, and as they parted, Odysseus eyed his flag lieutenant questioningly. Essenzi knew what he asked. The answer was obvious in her sorrowful gaze. She almost just nodded, but remembered her training at the last moment and gave her report, as she had been trained to do.
Lieutenant Gulero is dead, sir. They're all dead. The entire bridge crew. I am the only one who survived.
Odysseus tried not to gape at the sheer horror of it all. He glanced at Zetos, who gave a slight nod.
What happened?
He asked Essenzi, though he suspected the answer lay with the twisted memory of his dead daughter. Numeon stepped in, his eagerness to get moving obvious.
We need to get you and Lieutenant Essenzi to safety, shipmaster.
Odysseus nodded slowly, still overcoming the inertia of his shock.
Of course, yes.
They needed him and Essenzi to crew the ship's bridge once they returned to the void. He smoothed down his uniform, releasing his grip on the parchment in his inner jacket pocket. Dakar had gone to see Ushaman, whilst Abidemi and Vorko stood sentry, watching both ends of the corridor. The safety Numeon spoke of evidently wasn't here.
What do you have in mind, my lord?
Ushaman was taking you to his librarium, yes?
Adisian nodded to the salamander. He watched Dakar make a battle sign against his plastron before he saw the faint stirrings of life return to the librarian.
Then we go there now,
said Numeon, glancing at Ushaman's scrawled words but making no comment.
All of us.
They were about to head out when the vox crackled back into life again, having been quiet since just after Numeon and Zetos had left the bridge. Varkir's wizened voice manifested across the feed.
Numeon, mercy of Vulcan, you are alive, brother captain. When I could not reach you, I feared the worst.
The return was patchy and far from ideal, but Numeon was at least in contact with his chaplain again.
Varkir, there is something aboard the Charybdis, some kind of... It's a demon, Artellus. I know how that sounds, but we are being manipulated by a denizen of Old Night. It sounds all too plausible, old friend.
Numeon discerned the sporadic exchange of gunfire in the background and raised urgent voices.
Where are you? What is happening? The lower decks are under attack. Word bearers, brother, and in number. They had us at an impasse, but a section broke off.
Varkir paused to release a loud burst from his pistol. It was several seconds before he came back, and for a moment Numeon feared he had been injured or worse.
They are headed for the Generatorium. The Geller Field? What else? They mean to overrun this ship with Hellspawn.
Had this been another time, before Istvan, before Trioris and the horrors he had witnessed on Macragge, Numeon would have scoffed at such a remark. Now it was all too reasonable. With that came a stark revelation. The imperial truth, that which denied the existence of gods and deities beyond the natural world, which eschewed superstition and the arcane, promoting science and reasoning as the tools of enlightenment, was a lie.
I have Adisian and Essenzi. Who defends the Generatorium?
Varkir told him. He also told him how the pyre was spread thin across the Charybdis, pulled in every direction by sightings of the girl and by other visions that had led warriors to stray from their posts. The chaplain had 20 legionaries with him, but had no reliable way of marshalling the others.
Zathen!
Numeon knew the veteran had been on patrol in that region of the ship.
I have lost contact with everyone beyond the cadre I am fighting beside. Everyone except for you, brother captain.
Numeon blink-clicked a ship schematic onto his visor display and found what he was looking for in seconds.
A route from the librarium will get us to the lower decks. I can reinforce Zon and Gargo from there. Understood. I will try to break through if I can. There is one more thing. The Grey Legionary is moving to reinforce our beleaguered brothers.
Hecht?
The very same.
Behind his draconian faceplate, Numeon raised an eyebrow.
You let him go alone? It is as Zetos said. We have to trust someone.
Numeon sensed there was more to the chaplain's change of heart than that, but nodded. He and the others were already moving, and had been since Varkir had made contact.
Vulcan lives, chaplain, he said. In you, brother captain,
Varkir replied, before the feed fell silent again. Evidently, some things had still not changed. Gargo crawled. His chest burned from where the mace had struck him. Dented battle plate pushed in at his rib bone, sharp from where it had caved against the blow. He crawled one-handed and left a bloody smear in his wake, fingers digging into the deck grill, heaving his bulk up with his bionic arm. He found Zon and briefly clutched the Tech Marine's forearm in a final moment of remembrance before moving on. One of the eyepieces in his helm was cracked, and it was making it difficult to see, but he couldn't remove it. Heavy fire echoed dully overhead, and Gargo realized his audio feed must be damaged, too. That, or he was closer to incapacity than he realized. The fight had moved outside the narrow defile where he and Zon had made their stand. Someone else had engaged the word-bearers before they could enact their sabotage. And though the corridor was empty now, bodies still impeded him. Gargo wrenched himself over them, crushing throats or gouging into eyes where motes of life still persisted. He told himself it was necessary, not malicious or vengeful. But every time he remembered the sight of Zon's severed head, the truth became his reality. Gargo's strength was giving out by the time he reached the end of the corridor and emerged into the deck proper. Pyroclasts engaged the throng of word-bearers led by Rekor Zathen. As he passed from consciousness, Gargo realized something was wrong. As darkness took him, he realized he could not see the preacher. The word-bearer's chaplain had not been amongst the raiders. He was somewhere else, his purpose unknown, but almost certainly not good.